The following message is provided through the teaching ministry of Journey Baptist Church in Silver Springs, Texas. It is our desire that by listening, you will be encouraged to trust Jesus for all, treasure Jesus above all, and to take Jesus to all.
Me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I mentioned earlier this morning one of the blessings that we had this week was just being a part of all that's going on with graduation this year. Maddie, our oldest daughter, is graduating from high school, and we have been preparing for this now for 17 years. Not that she would graduate and move on, but getting her to where she can graduate and contribute to society in a way that would be honorable and pleasing to the Lord. And part of that process that we've been doing is occasionally there'll be times, and probably many of you have experienced this, where because of an event, they're wanting pictures of your child. And that was one of the situations that we encountered a couple of, I guess probably months ago now, was that they needed some pictures of Maddie so they could project on the screen at some kind of a senior day function or a scholarship or something like that. And so as many families do, we keep all of our personal pictures in a big chest at the foot of our bed. And so what would probably have taken just a few minutes to go in and find a baby picture, a childhood picture, and then an older picture of Maddie ended up taking hours. Because what happens when you go in there with the objective of finding a picture or three pictures, you begin going through all the pictures, and your minutes turn into hours as you begin to relive the memories and call the other siblings in and call the parents in, and you ooh and ah at how cute they used to be and how beautiful they still are. And we get distracted by all these memories, right? Get distracted by the nostalgia, get distracted by all these good things. And all along that process, because there's a deadline for these pictures to be turned in, we occasionally probably should have reminded ourselves to stay on task. In spite of all the goodness, there was a call to remind ourselves that, wait, this is all good, this is great, we want to do this, but we got to find these pictures. Like, we're not going to get done with the job. Like, we're distracted. And that's been our month of May here. Not that we would find pictures of Journey Baptist, but that we would sort through all the good things that God has given to us to see what actually has actually become a distraction from Journey fulfilling the task. All good things, most of them. Some of them may be bad. 2 weeks ago, we talked about removing distractions from our own lives as it pertains to our devotion to the Lord Jesus and our pure and simple devotion to the Lord Jesus. That we've been called to worship God, to love Him with all of our affections, and to give our lives to Him. And yet, in the midst of that, we have found that there are many, many distractions. Some of those being things like cell phones. Some of those being things like family. Some of those being things like jobs and stress and trials. We get these distractions. And so 2 weeks ago, we talked about dealing with that, getting rid of those things that we might be filled with the true satisfaction of the joy of being devoted fully to the Lord Jesus Christ. The call went out to be very intentional and very purposeful in examining our life, to see where those distractions are that would keep us from a devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom. And so I have a question for you this morning, 2 weeks later. How are you doing in that? How has that gone in your life? Have you worked through distractions in your life to the point where you've actually removed some things from your life? Because I believe if we were all honest with ourselves, we would say that because of a busyness of our culture, we're tempted towards distraction. Are we going to hear the Word of God? Are we going to fight to maintain a focus for this task that God has given to us? Last week, we continued in this vein, and we talked about giving all of ourselves fully to the love of God. We talked about the greatest commandment, the greatest out of all the commandments, the commandment that summarizes all the other commandments. All 613 commandments can be summarized in these two, the greatest being, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's everything inside, everything outside, and all that I have is to be leveraged, is to be used for me loving Jesus Christ and the things of God. And the second commandment, which we did not talk about very much last week, is like it, that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so let me ask you this. How's that going? I could probably just stop right here, couldn't I? How is it going in your life that you would be engaging in this fight to be knowledgeable that there are distractions that come up? We do get sidetracked. That is natural. That is normal. But we always have to be in this refining, refocusing nature where we're looking at our lives and at our families and we're trying to figure out what is it that's coming in between my devotion to Jesus Christ, because you have all the forces of hell and the world fighting to get in between you and God. They want you distracted from Jesus Christ. The world wants you distracted from Jesus Christ. So you better believe that you're at war. And if you're living right now in a peacetime mentality, you will be defeated. We've got to think of life as war. And we are soldiers. Y'all have heard, this is not on script here, but y'all have heard the illustration of the church being like a boat. And that God has designed the church to be a warship, penetrating enemy territory, and you've got people manning the deck, and the guy that's swabbing the deck is doing it not so that we can have a nice place to live, but because it needs to be clean so that other people can function and man their guns and arm the guns and whatever else that takes place on a battleship. But it is often the case that the church views itself more as a cruise liner, where people sign up for the cruise and you have some hired staff to swab the decks for your own comfort and entertainment. That's not the way the church is. The church is a battleship, not a cruise ship. And so when you're in a wartime mentality, you're more alert, and we need to be more alert about these distractions that come into our life because they're so subtle. They're so subtle. So we talked about removing distractions. We talked about loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, giving Him everything that we have. And I hope that you have stepped forward in doing those things. And I hope that now you're ready and that you're primed right now to give yourself for the sake of God, loving others with all that you have, everything given to the things of God and His kingdom. And so this week, we're going to be following along in this progression, and hopefully at the end of the service, this will be a shorter message so that in the end of the service, Matt and I can share with you a little bit about our trip to Canada. So we're going to move pretty quickly through this. But at this point, I want you to be primed and ready in your mind to be thinking, if I'm removing distractions, like I'm being a soldier now in this army, and I'm willing to give everything that I have, all the resources, everything that's in my backpack, for the sake of what the commander-in-chief has commissioned me to go and do, which is to make disciples of all the nations, right? Where does that play out in your life? That's the point. And here's the answer to that question. That plays out primarily in the context of the local church in your life. God gave His mission the church. He didn't give the church a mission. God has a mission to redeem mankind unto Himself, and His tool, His equipment, His gift to that mission, to accomplish that mission, is the church. And we are all part of that church if we have been born again. So we're going to be talking about what it means to serve God with all of who we are in the context of the local church this morning. And this corresponds nicely with our Membership Matters class this evening, right? You see how we did that? Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about church membership. We're talking about what is your role in the life of the local body of Christ. Like, does God actually expect you to serve in the local church? It also corresponds with where we're heading as a church family. I've asked a few people from our membership, four people, to be thinking, and we've already met. We're meeting again this afternoon, and we're meeting again throughout the summer, and we're calling it a volunteer recruitment team, for lack of a better phrase. We debated on what we should call that. Don't know. But they're going to be putting together a structure in our church family so that we can all be better facilitated in our serving one another and in our taking the gospel out. And I read a book, I've read it twice now because it's so good, called The Trellis and the Vine. And the premise there is that the church is about growing a vine. The church business, the mission that God has given to the church, or I should say the church has been given to the mission, but you get the point. The job that we have as a church family is to grow people, to make disciples, not to build structures, not to build organizational structures. And yet the vine is what we've been given to grow, but a vine grows best on a trellis. And so it's this idea that we have to have a trellis. We have to have structure for the church to grow on, right? We have to have some organizational structure. But it is often the case that the structure becomes the distraction to the growth of the vine. Isn't it true that the church is often tempted to look at their organizational structure and become so focused on that that they forget that the primary work of the church is to grow people? We can become so focused on committees or ministries or things like this that we forget that we're actually to be given to the service of people. And so what this team is doing this summer is they're wanting to add a little bit of trellis to this vine, so that the vine can better grow in the years ahead. So y'all pray for that team. And at the end of this service, you're going to be called to be in prayer about where you can serve in light of that team's recommendations later on. But here's the question I want to pose to you this morning as we come to our text. What role are you willing to play in the building up of the body of Jesus Christ? That's a simple question, right? But let me ask it, and I want you to have time to think about your answer to that. Don't give me a Sunday school answer. You give me an honest heart answer to that question. What role are you willing to play in the building up of the body of Jesus Christ? Let me ask this a different way. Is there a role you are willing to play in the building up of the body of Christ? Are you willing to exist for the sake of the church, or are you only willing for the church to exist for you? Another question is, what role are you willing to play in the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ? What role are you willing to play in the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to play a role in getting the gospel from this point out into our community, out into our world? Because those are the two functions of the church. Y'all remember, the gospel works in two different directions. It works inward. It works among its converts. It works among believers. It makes us more like Christ. That's the work of the one another ministry of the church. But it also goes out from us. It goes out from us to be a blessing to others and to proclaim that gospel to the lost, to make other disciples. And so making disciples is not just a proclamation of the gospel. It's a working out of that gospel in our lives ongoing until we see Jesus face to face. But it starts with this proclamation, outward. Inward, outward. What role are you willing to play for the inward working of the gospel in the life of the body of the church? And what role are you willing to play in the outward working of the gospel, which is the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ? We have an obligation to proclaim the gospel to our community, and we have to become more diligent in proclaiming the gospel to our community and even to our world. This was what the whole focus on Who's Your One is. And I hope that we don't ever get away from that focus of asking the question, who is your one? Who's the one that God has placed on your heart and that you are willing and intentionally trying to have spiritual conversations with throughout the week? Who's your one? But it's not going to be just that one focus. We have to layer these focuses. We have to layer these evangelistic strategies on top of the other so that we have multiple ones to work with. So So we're not going to reach the world by just asking who's your one. We need to add to that a layer of going out into the community and speaking even to people we don't know, of like door-to-door ministry. We're not going to reach the world, though, by focusing on an individual and just going door-to-door. We have to add another layer of going into places like Lima, Peru, or the outskirts of Peru, or to East Asia, or to Canada. We have to do all that we can to be making our mission achievable and available to everyone to participate in. So we're going to be working on that. But I want you to see that this morning that you have a role in that. That's the outward movement, but there's also this inward movement. And if you're here today and your desire is to be an attender but not to strive or to actively participate in the kingdom work, then I would say something's probably wrong with your spiritual walk. If you're here today and you don't want to serve, but you want to be served, you are not acting and thinking like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who's making us like Him, He came to serve, not to be served. Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, got on His knees and washed the feet of His disciples as a demonstration of serving one another. And we're to do the same. I'm glad everybody's here, though, of course. But if you're here just to be fed or just to be entertained, I believe that you're going to grow dissatisfied with this church, because it's our intention to build upon the Word of God that calls all members to be a part of the work. You will never be fully satisfied in your spiritual walk if you are only fed and you never feed. You will never be satisfied in your spiritual walk if you are only entertained and never given over to the sacrificial service to the body of Christ. You were saved by the Redeemer. You were saved by Jesus Christ from sins into a family of which He has called you and gifted you to function in as a brother and as a sister. So this morning we're going to consider our role in the life and the ministry of the local church. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As we finally get to our text, we're going to start in verse 4. And we're going to cruise. I'm going to read verses 4 through 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and he says this: "Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone." Now, just right from the start, if you mark in your Bibles, and I'm an advocate for that, personal book given to us to devour and to eat and to study. If you mark in your Bibles, I would encourage you to underline "in everyone." These things that Paul is talking about, God is doing in everyone. Now, to understand who that everyone is, that is everyone who's given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's writing to the church. And he's saying, if you belong to the church, every one of you can know that this is them that Paul is talking about. Now, as we read through those first three verses that we looked at, notice these three items that Paul is mentioning here. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Watch this pattern. There's varieties of service, but the same Lord. There's varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in every one. So here's my first point I want to make with you this morning. In the local church, in Journey Baptist Church, there is a diversity of labor with a unity of purpose. There's a diversity of workings that are taking place. But even within all of that diversity of activities, there is a unity in purpose for what we're all doing. We're not all going our separate ways in our service to the Lord. That was the problem with the church in Corinth. They were taking these gifts and they were using them for individual benefit. And Paul is writing them to say, that is not what God intended when he gave you the Spirit of God. That is not what God intended when he gave you a specific gift to use it your own way. He gave it for the singular purpose of the Lord and for his kingdom. These are not just for you to use willy-nilly. They were given to you for a purpose. The point of the passage is that in spite of all the diversity of gifts and services, we are filled by and serving one Lord. He is the one who gave it. It was one God who gave us these diversities of gifts. So let's look and see about these diversity of giftings. Let's talk about a few terms. And the only reason I'm mentioning these is because, well, I want them to be clear in your mind, but from the Greek words, there are going to be transliterated words in the English language that you're going to be very familiar with, and so I wanted you to see that. So the term here for that Paul uses of a variety of gifts, this is the term in Greek, charismaton, which means grace. It is a gift. Grace means gift. It's something that is given to you undeserved, unwarranted. You didn't deserve it. It was free. You don't have to work for it. It's free. It's grace. It's a grace gift. Some of you have heard grace gifts. This is why there is a movement in the church right now that has been here for a long time that tends to abuse the gifts. And that movement is called the charismatic movement. Okay? Is it wrong to be charismatic? Is it wrong to function in these gifts? No. These are gifts given to us by the Lord, but we can easily abuse them just like the Corinthians abused them. But that's where that term comes from. The charismatic movement comes from this idea of these gifts that have been given to us by the Spirit. The term service. Some of your translations may say ministries or administrations. This is the Greek word diakonion. Now this is where we understand the word to mean service or servant. This is where we get the English word deacon. What is a deacon? A deacon is a servant. In Acts chapter 6, you have the introduction to the deacon, the servant ministry. It's where these six men were selected out of the body of Christ to go and help feed widows. They weren't leaders of the church. They were servants of the church. So there's a diversity of gifts. There's a diversity of services, of administrations. But also there's a diversity of activities. This is, in some of your Bibles, will be translated workings or operations or effects. And there's a diversity of effects. And this is the Greek word energema. That's where we get the term energy. It means literally implementation, to bring something about. It is the action of bringing something about to implement. In the context, though, it is that of accomplishing what we do in ministry through the giftings that we have been giving. And Paul is reminding the Corinthians here of the important truth that although there are variety of empowerments or giftings, there are that are given to do a variety of ministries to bring about a variety of results, there is only one God who is the one source and for whom these have been given to serve the one purpose. The picture here is a picture of a vast diversity of activities and empowerments and movements that is energized, if you will, by the Holy Spirit. The point of this passage is the unity behind the diversity. That's the point of the passage. Paul's making the point. Yes, there's diversity. Yes, there's all kinds of things going on. Yes, there's a diversity of all these things. But it's the same God who did it all. You've got to remember that. It's the same God who did it. What are His purposes for giving these things to you? That should be the question. Paul's point here is that the unity of the body of Christ that is being displayed to the diversity of our ministries that God has given to us. Isn't that an exciting picture of the church? God is a God of diversity, isn't He? Look at creation. Look at humanity and how diverse we are. Look at Planet Earth movie series or what that video series produced about the diversity of all the life on the planet. I mean, God is a God of diversity, and this diversity of God, this creativity of God is being worked out in the life of the church. Like, every one of us has been given, who are in Christ, a spiritual gift that will be worked out in different ways, accomplishing different things, but all together we are doing one thing together, and that is serving one God, one kingdom. Paul likens this to the physical body. That's why we call the church the body. It gives us, in my estimation, a beautiful and exciting picture for the local church. Imagine if every one of us understood this. That by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have been given a gift, an endowment, a stewardship. And God gave that to you for a reason. Not to not use it. He gave it to you for a reason. And that reason is to serve in His power for His purposes. The second point I want you to see from this text, this is a long sentence. I would have gotten an F on this paper in sermon prep. But it makes the whole point, and I want you to see it. In the local church, there is a role you are to play in the life of the church body that is both given by the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit for the magnification of the glory of God and the benefit of the body. So let's read through that one more time. In the local church, don't make this abstract. Don't think about the Corinthians right now. Think about Journey Baptist Church. In this church, there is a role for you to play. And that role has been given to you by the Spirit. You have been empowered to serve in that role by the Spirit. And the purpose of that role is the magnification of the glory of God and to the benefit of the body of Christ. First, you have been given a role to play and a gift to use in the service to the body. Look in verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Why? For the common good. To each, you have a role to play. To each has been given a manifestation of the Spirit. Each one of you has been given a gift. Why? For the common good. Your gift is for the benefit of the body of Christ. That's amazing. Is it not a wonder of how anemic and weak the church body today is? Because God has put systems in place. And you think about your own body. If your own systems in your body randomly decided, I'm not going to work today, I'm not going to show up today, I'm not going to do this today, the heart says, I'm not going to pump blood today, I just want to be a muscle, I don't want to pump the blood though. How weak and fragile our bodies would be. If your left arm just randomly, occasionally started saying, I'm not going to work today, how disruptive would that be in your task that you're trying to accomplish throughout the day? And yet that is the picture of the body of Christ. And that is why membership into the local body is so vitally important, because God has specifically put you there and has specifically gifted you for the well-being of the whole body. You cannot look at the life and your involvement in the church any longer on individual terms, where you get to decide when and why you will go to church. Can I just get real serious here for a second? And I'm speaking this not because of me, not because I want to see numbers at all. I'm speaking because there are brothers and sisters in this congregation that hurt for various reasons when people decide they don't want to show up and minister in the spirit that God has given to them. The body is affected when we, who have been gifted for the benefit of the body, say, I'm not going to serve. I've got soccer this weekend. I'm sleepy this weekend. How can you serve and function in the body of Christ using the gifts that God has given to you when you don't show up? How? But we have so individualized our Christian faith that we think that you exist for me. Not me for you. This is a radical shift in how to view church. But we have for a long time been growing in a culture that says church is for my benefit. And when they stop meeting my needs, guess what I'm going to do? I'll either drop out for a season, or I'll just go and find the church that does begin to meet my needs. Because it's not about me serving them. It's about somehow them serving me, which is the opposite of love. What would it look like if the whole body of Christ realized this one thing? That God has intentionally, He grafted you into the body of Christ and gave you a job. I've got this wonderful job, and you're going to grow in Christ's likeness when you begin to work this job out in the life of the body of Christ, because you're not going to know how to do it, and you're going to be stressed out because you don't have the strength to do it. But don't worry, I'm giving you a gift to empower you to do the job, but you're never going to tap into that until you start doing the job. And what if we all just decided we were going to trust that? Can you imagine the life that would come alive in the life of the body of Christ? When there would just be a diversity of activities all around, everybody serving in different capacities. Some are unseen. Most are unseen. But we're doing the work that God has given us to do in the power of the Spirit to do it. What a healthy body we would have. Jesus came to serve. You say, well, God, I could never teach. I could never do that. I could never play the guitar or play the drums or the piano or sing. Look at verse 14. We'll kind of start wrapping it up here. Don't ever think you can't serve. Verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. In other words, if you're sitting there right now and you're thinking, I can't teach the Word of God, I can't minister to this body, that's what he's saying. That would not make it any less a part of the body. Just because you don't think you can do what you perceive that other people are doing, that doesn't mean you're not part of the body. You are a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. Isn't that wonderful? Like, God put you here. God put you in His body. And he gave you a specific job to do in that body. And you may not know exactly what that is. The point is not that you know exactly what your spiritual gift is and exactly how God's going to use you. The point is that you're here ministering to the body of Christ. You're serving and loving one another. We're doing the one another ministry as the body of Christ. And he uses this metaphor of the body. When Leslie and I were in North Carolina, me and a friend of mine would walk to school a lot. And it was probably about a mile and a half, if I remember correctly. And we would have our backpacks on, and we would have books in the bag. And after a course of a couple of weeks, in my mind it was years. Probably happened five times. And Leslie's probably like, maybe three. But we would walk, and it was this wonderful, brisk walk. In that season, we wouldn't do it in the heat of summer. But I can remember getting about a quarter of the mile. One day, it just happened one day, I got about a quarter of a mile away from the apartment, and my left leg stopped working. Like I couldn't take another step without just intense pain shooting down. And I handed my friend Mike my backpack, and I stood there for a minute, and I started walking. Pain was gone. I was like, well, that's weird. Never happened to me. Put the backpack back on, started walking, took about one or two steps, and it just intense. I couldn't walk. But he had to carry my bag back, got in the truck, tried it again the next day because I feel fine the rest of the day. Tried it again the next day. What I found out was I was carrying my bag on one shoulder. It was a common thing I did. But after enough time and enough weight, carrying a bag on one shoulder, this body, probably not your body, this body decided to shut down because my body is designed with two shoulders. And both shoulders are designed to carry weight together, not shifting it just to one shoulder. One shoulder was doing the job while another shoulder sat out, and it literally affected my whole body to where I could not do what I was called to do, which was to go to class that day. Until I called and enlisted both shoulders to carry the weight. And for the rest of the time, when I figured that out, I could carry as much weight as I wanted to in my backpack on both shoulders, and it never hurt me again. That's the way the body is, guys. We are all designed to do something. And if we're not doing it, somebody else is going to be affected when we don't do it. Isn't it a glorious picture, though, that God has gifted us this way? I want us to pray after a few minutes. I'm going to invite Matt up here. We got to go and spend a little bit of time in Canada, a couple of weeks ago. And we're going to talk just a little bit about our trip. Come on up here, Matt.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to this message. If you would like more information about Journey Baptist Church, please visit our website at journeybaptist.com.